We've looked at this concept, it's more than a concept, this reality called the Trinity, and we've taken it apart as we've studied the Father and we've studied the Son, we've studied the Holy Spirit, their character, their nature, their attributes, who they are, their absolute people, right? They are persons. They have a mind, a will, and an emotion. And so now we've mixed in with all of those, we've talked about what salvation is and what salvation entails. And so today we want to take that salvation that we've been studying, and what I want to ask, I want to answer a couple of questions that I'm sure that you've either thought about in times past or maybe people have questioned you about. Have you ever wondered whether or not you could lose your salvation? I know that we meet people all the time that believe that. There are a lot of denominations that teach, oh, listen, I'm a believer, but we believe you can lose your salvation. And we could start naming some very prominent denominations. We could start calling out specific churches right in a stone's throw of here that believe that very thing, that your salvation is not secure. It's something that you could lose very easily. So let's explore that today, all right? Let's talk about, we've mentioned now this salvation for the last 6 weeks. And we've talked about what forgiveness, what salvation is not. It's not your baptism. When you see the videos of people being baptized, you know, that's not when they gave their life to Christ. That's not when their life was radically changed. That's the evidence, that's the result of that change. But salvation is not your baptism. Salvation is not joining a church, whether it's this one or some other church. Salvation does not depend on the denomination that you're a part of, which is radically different than what some churches will teach. There's some churches right around here that if you're not a part of their church and their denomination, then your salvation is not valid. And you know why? The ones of those that make it to heaven, they're going to be so shocked when they get there and they find that there are Baptists there and that there are people other than their own little congregation that's in heaven. But it's not your church. It's not your denomination. It's not your baptism. It's not getting involved in whatever church you're a part of. Your salvation is made up and based on you understanding who you are in your standing with the Lord. We're sinners. Scripture teaches that we didn't sin the first cookie we stole out of the cookie jar. We were conceived, and at conception, we were sinners. We inherited that sin nature from our parents. So we didn't become a sinner when we were born. We were already a professional sinner by the time that mom gave birth to us. Because at salvation, we were sinners. And Scripture says that as sinners, we're separated from God. What separates me from a holy God is this issue of my sin nature. And that's what separates me. I can never have that personal relationship with Almighty God. I can never form that forgiveness, that salvation, as long as that sin is there and separates us. And because I'm separated from God because of my sin, I deserve, and you're going to hear the word deserve a lot today. I deserve because I'm a sinner, and because you're a sinner, we deserve to die and go to hell forever. Wow. Boy, if you just look at that much of reality and truth today and who we are and where we are, the painting is very bleak, black, and dark, isn't it? To think that all we've got to look forward to, you might as well eat, drink, and chase Mary because you're going to die and go to hell. This is it. Wow. But God loved us so much. God loved us so much that He said, my justice, I have to punish sin. My justice says, I have to send you to hell. But my love says, I want to make a way. I want to make it possible for you to be forgiven. I want to make it possible for you to come to know me. I want to make it possible for this sin to be removed and you and I to have a personal relationship with each other. For you to become my children and me to be your heavenly Father. I want to make salvation available to you. And here it is, and it's all about not baptism, not church membership, not denomination, not getting involved, but it's all about a surrender of your life to me. And that begins this process. Salvation is instantaneous. Growth is a process. And so today we're going to talk about this salvation that we've described. Is it possible to lose your salvation? There are three very key components, three elements that we're going to talk about today. Three key terms. They're more than terms, though. I'm searching for a good term to use here, but because they are everything that our salvation is built on. Here's the first one. You're going to recognize all of them. You ever heard the word grace before? Yeah, it's all about grace. Your salvation, your forgiveness, my forgiveness was all about God's grace. Grace, let me give you a definition and then we're going to go to the scriptures. Grace is when God gives us something that we don't deserve. There's that word deserve again. Right? When we get something from God that we don't deserve, that's called grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 are probably my favorite verses on grace. For by what? For by grace you've been what? Saved, forgiven. This personal relationship has been established, and it's by grace. You've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This salvation that God has made available to us is all because of His grace. Wow. Think about forgiveness for a minute. How many people in here deserve to be forgiven? I mean, you're just that much of just a superhero. I mean, you're a saint beyond measure. I mean, you're such a good guy or a good lady, mom, whatever the case may be. I mean, there are some people that are so puffed up, they think that they're that good. You know, they believe they're God's answer to man and womankind. But do you really feel like you deserve for God to forgive you? Is there any way that you can earn forgiveness? Is there any way that you can buy forgiveness? There's not enough money in the world to buy forgiveness if it were for sale. Well, then how can I be forgiven? Well, there's nothing that's not about me. And it's all about God. It's all about God. Back up to verse 8. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. But it's all about grace. God says, you don't deserve this. What is it that we deserve? As sinners, we deserve what? One word. Hell. An eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. But He says, you know what? Because of my love for you, I love you so much. Because of my grace, I'm going to make something available to you that you don't deserve. Wow, isn't that God? That is just so God. Let's look at it from a different angle. It's not just about grace, but it's about mercy as well. All right, listen, because these sound so similar. Give you a definition. Grace is God giving me something that I don't deserve, right? Mercy is when God doesn't give me what I do deserve. You hear the difference? Grace is God giving me something that I don't deserve. I do not deserve to be forgiven. Yet through God's grace, He makes that available. Through God's mercy, He doesn't give me what I do deserve. What do I deserve? To spend eternity in hell. But by His mercy, He's saying, I'm making it available to you where you don't have to spend an eternity in hell. My mercy and my grace come from different angles, but they work together to accomplish this one salvation, this one thing, this one forgiveness. Look at Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done. You can't do enough good things. I mean, you can't go serve your community enough. You can't come to church enough. You can't sing the songs enough. There's nothing that you can do, but it's according to His what? Let me say that again in case you're not listening. But it's according to His mercy that He what? He saved us. He forgave us. According to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's His grace. It's His mercy. Now let's bring in one other term, one other concept, and let's put them all together. And once they're all together, you can't dissect and separate all these three out. But it's all about, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's grace, it's mercy, and it's offered to us as a gift. Oh, let's look at another passage of Scripture. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Wages. You know what wages are? That's your paycheck. You work all week, or you work for the first 15 days, the next 15 days, however you're paid. And when that paycheck comes, your wages come. Are those your wages? Absolutely. Why? Because you earned them and you deserve it. Deserve it. I've worked hard for these last 2 weeks. I deserve these. I've earned it. And the wages are what I've earned, what I deserve because of the fact that I'm a sinner is what? Death. That's not death dying in a war like Ukraine. It's not death dying in a car wreck or of COVID. That death is eternal death. That's separation from God for all eternity in a place that's called hell. That's what I deserve. The wages of sin is death. But if there was never a but in Scripture, boy, we wouldn't know. There wouldn't be much hope. But the gift of God is eternal life, salvation, forgiveness, eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about, let's take this card here and let's make this into a big box with a big fluffy bow on it. Let's make this a gift, all right? And let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about forgiveness, right? We've got grace playing in over here. We've got mercy playing in over here. But the sum total is, this is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Let's think about gift. Everybody likes to get a gift, right? And so it's your birthday, and we've got a present all wrapped up here. And you know what? I come to your house, and I say, hey, dude, listen, man, I just wanted to let you know how much I love you, and I've brought you a gift, right? This is for you. Happy birthday, right? And I hold it out to you. It's got your name on it, right? To Ed from Steve. Happy birthday. Think about this for a minute. Who's paying for this gift? Who's paying for this gift? I am. I'm giving the gift. It's not much of a gift. If you open it up and wow, that is nice. And then the bill is in there. All you've got to do is make monthly payments of this much for the next 6 years, and this is yours, right? It's the giver of the gift is the one who always pays for the gift. If salvation is a gift from God, he's given the gift. Who paid for the gift? The giver. How did God pay for this gift of forgiveness, this gift of salvation? He paid for it with his life. He left heaven. He became a man. He came to this earth. He lived a sinless life, and he went to the cross as my substitute, as your substitute, as our sacrifice. Somebody has to pay for your sin and for my sin. And he said, you know what? I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. And so in order for us to be forgiven, here's my gift to you. I've already paid for it, right? And I'm at Ed's house, and it's got Ed's name on it. Whose gift is this? It's for Ed. But who's still got it? It's still my gift. Who's in possession of it? I still have it. But I want him to have it. Doesn't that make it his? Huh? No, it doesn't become his until he what? Takes it, until he receives it from me. And then it transfers from me to him. He now has ownership of it. It's his gift. It's his forgiveness when he receives that. And salvation is the same way. It's God's gift to us. He's paid for it. He's made it available. He offers it to us, but it's not mine and it's not yours until we reach out and say, God, thank you. I want that. And it's all about surrender. When I say, God, I give you my life. Here's my life, God. He says, great. Here's my gift to you. Wow, it's grace, it's mercy, and it's all a gift. See, you've got to understand that salvation, here's three things I want you to go home with. Here's the first one. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is all about surrender, and it's God's gift that he's made available to each one of us. Now, whether or not it's ours is determined by whether or not we've received it. All right, let's look at a second thing real quick. All right, so it's a gift. Secondly, a relationship is always permanent. All right, let's look at something about this salvation. Let's take it to a deeper level here for just a moment. First, in John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him. Back up just 30 seconds. It's God's gift to us. He wants us to have it. He's made it available to us. He's offered it to us. And what do we have to do? We have to receive it. Oh, gosh, that sounds real familiar, doesn't it? But as many as received this gift, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those that believe in his name. Huge last phrase there, believe in his name. To believe in God, there are a lot of different words in Scripture in the New Testament that are translated believe. There is a mental belief. And a lot of people believe in God. Oh, I believe that God exists. You know, I believe that he's real. I believe that he created the universe. I believe in God. But this word is not the mental belief. This belief here is a heart belief. It's a heart surrender. This is not mental. This comes down to your will. I'm choosing out of an act of my will to give my life to Almighty God. That surrender that we've talked about so that I can receive his gift, this forgiveness, this salvation that he's made available to me. Remember we said we're going to talk today about, is it possible to lose your salvation? Let's ask a couple of questions. Number one is this. If it were possible, and biblically it's not, but let's just say for a moment, if it were possible to lose your salvation because of something that I say, something that I do, something that I lose interest in, something that I get too busy for, something that I get hurt by somebody in the church and turn my back on the church, if it's possible, and it's not, but if it was possible to lose my salvation, then who's in charge of my salvation? That would make me in charge of whether or not I'm really saved, right? As long as I don't do anything bad, as long as I don't go anywhere that I shouldn't, as long as I don't say anything mean, ugly, or unkind, then I'm still saved. But if I do something that I shouldn't, then I end up losing my salvation. So my salvation doesn't depend on God's mercy and God's grace and His gift. If it's possible for me to lose my salvation totally depends on who? Me being perfect. What's the odds of that? What's the odds of you being absolutely perfect? Let's just say for the rest of today. Right? It's not. What's the odds that you'll make it to lunch? You won't. Because there's so much things that we do, sin that we don't even think about, things that we don't do that God wants us to do are just as wrong as the things that He wants, that He doesn't want us to do that we end up doing. Whether it's a word or a thought or a deed or whatever the case may be, whether it's a motive or an attitude. You ever have an attitude? I never have an attitude. Do you ever have an attitude? We don't think of that as sin, do we? We sin constantly because that's who we are. We're a sinner. It's our nature. And if my salvation rests on me being perfect, then what good was Jesus' death on the cross? Obviously, it wasn't enough. Obviously, His death wasn't enough to save me and to keep me if I can do something to lose it. Wow, I never thought about it from that angle. Well, let's keep exploring this. We've become the children of God. See, at salvation, when we surrender our life to Christ, we become His child. That means that He becomes our heavenly Father, right? Now, you think of this. You may not have had a good relationship with your father, right? But you've got to get beyond that and let's just talk about relationship concepts here. He becomes our Father and we become His child. And that relationship can never change. Think about the relationship with your father, or for those of you who are dads, think about the relationship with your children. Can anything change? Anything possibly change the fact that you are the father of that child? That child can change their name 6 different times. Are you still the father of that child, yes or no? Yes. That child can be a pure hellion and end up in every jail in Alabama. Are you still the father of that child? Yes. That child can be in a wreck and lose both arms and both legs. Are you still the father of that child? Yes. Well, then how, if I've become His child, He's become my heavenly Father, how is it that all of a sudden, biblically, oh, well, I can lose it? Well, no, you can't, because a relationship is permanent. There's nothing that you can ever do to change that fact and that relationship that He's your heavenly Father and you are His child. Let's take it a step deeper. You're not a natural child, but how are you brought into the family of God? Scripture says, how are we into His family? We've been adopted. Oh, listen. Man, that's one of the best concepts in all of Scripture, to be adopted. Oh, folks, listen, the biblical law of adoption says this: once you've adopted a child, as a father, there's nothing I can do. I cannot ever turn my back on this child. I can never disown this child. I can never cast this child out of my family. I can never change that relationship by law. I will always be the father of that adopted child. And what have we become? We've become children of God. He's our Heavenly Father, and we are His child. Oh, listen, that relationship is permanent. It's not, you've got to understand that completely. So, what happens when we sin? Are we supposed to just live sinless? It's impossible. We're a sinner by nature, and God died for those sins that we have committed in the past, that we are committing right now, and that we will commit. His death on that cross, He paid the penalty for our sin. We're going to sin, but when we do, we don't lose the relationship. It damages our fellowship, but not our relationship. Fellowship is that closeness that you feel. Can you think back to a time when you were little growing up? You know, maybe it was a mom or maybe it was a dad situation there. And boy, you did something. You thought, I bet they'll never find out. And they always do. Did that ever seem strange to you as a kid? How do they always know? But they always seem to find out at my house, huh? Did that destroy my relationship? Were they no longer my parents? Was he no longer my father? Was she no longer my mother? No, but the fellowship was broken. From my perspective, I didn't feel real warm and fuzzy at that moment, right? I felt real hot and bothered on the back end. You know what I'm saying? I didn't feel real close, and I didn't feel real lovey-dovey and everything else. That's that fellowship. When we disobey God, our fellowship with God is broken, that closeness. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't disown us. He doesn't throw us out of His family. I don't lose my relationship, but there's an issue that I've got to get right with Him so that our fellowship can be reestablished, that closeness can be there once again. All right? Let's take it one more step. Let's look at, let's answer a question here. Let's answer another question. How long is eternity? How would you answer that? If your son or daughter, or maybe you teach a class, if they ask you how long eternity was, how would you answer that? Forever. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty simple. Well, how long? Well, Brother Mark, how long is forever? I mean, that's the next question. We think we've shut them up with forever, right? Well, that's just going to go again, right? Eternal means without end. Something that's eternal, something that's forever, it's impossible for that to change. It's impossible for that to ever stop or to ever end. I want you to follow with me. I wish we could just do this for a long, long time just to really make a case this morning. But I want you to look at some scripture that talk about eternity, things that are eternal, things that are forever, things that are everlasting. All of these coming from that same root word. Look at John 3:16. You know that by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, here it is again, believes in him. Mental belief? No, a belief with your will, your heart. I'm giving him my life. Whoever believes in him should not perish. There's that word that means eternal death, hell. They don't have to go to hell, but we can have what kind of life? Everlasting life. What do we say everlasting meant? Eternal, eternity, without end, something that can never change, something that can never stop, all right? So, look at that word, everlasting life. Let's look one more place. John 10, 28 says this, Jesus said, and I give them what kind of life? Eternal life without end. It can't stop. It can't change. It's like everlasting. It's the same word as eternity. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Same word, perish, spiritual death, hell. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My salvation, my forgiveness is described as being what? Everlasting, eternal, something that's throughout eternity. Wait a minute now. If I can lose it, how can it be eternal? If my salvation was something that I could lose, that shouldn't say eternal life. It should say, and I give them temporary life, because it won't last long. Oh, they'll sin again here in just a couple seconds. I'm giving them temporary life. But it doesn't. It says eternal. Without end. Nothing can change. Nothing can ever stop. My salvation is eternal. I can't lose it. Think of this from a different angle. When we were studying the Trinity, do you remember what we said about God the Father? We made this statement about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we said about all three of them were, they were all three eternal. Heaven in Scripture is described as being what? Eternal. Is heaven temporary or eternal? It's eternal. Hell is not, purgatory is not in Scripture. Purgatory, the Catholics say, is temporary. But hell's never talked about being temporary. Hell is always talked about being eternal. Now, wait a minute. If the word describing Almighty God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is eternal, and the word describing heaven is eternal, and the word describing hell is eternal, but when that same word is used about my salvation or my forgiveness, and we say, oh, it's just temporary because you can lose it, you know what? You've got to make them say the same thing. So if my salvation is temporary, then God's temporary too. If my salvation and my forgiveness, if I'm able to lose my salvation, then heaven's not going to last forever either. Then hell's not going to last forever either. You see what I'm saying? Now, when you start teaching on this, and if I was invited to speak, which you've noticed that I've not been, in some of these churches that I alluded to earlier, right? Some of these denominations that teach you can lose your salvation, these are the first two objections that somebody sitting, there'd be somebody sitting right where Jeffrey is, right here, front row, and they would say, sir, then explain this. Because they have two standard objections that they're going to throw at us, and they're going to use these to back up their belief that you can lose it. Jeffrey, now he wouldn't do this, but Jeffrey would raise his hand and he said, here's why I don't believe what you're saying. Because if what you're saying is true, then you could be saved and then just decide you want to live any way you want to. That you can just be the biggest hellion in the world. You can turn your back on God. You can do whatever you want to do because you don't believe you can lose your salvation. Then that gives you license to live any way you want to. And that's one of their big arguments. Well, you know what? On the surface, that sounds like a pretty valid argument. But let's break that apart for just a minute. Let me take you to a couple verses here and let me answer it with scripture. In 1 John 3:6, it says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Doesn't say does not ever commit a sin, but this says does not continually sin. Does not as a habit, as a practice, as a lifestyle sin, does not continually disobey God, does not continually make his own choices, does not continually live his own life. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor knows him. It's not a matter of, well, I got my ticket to heaven. Yes, sir. Now I can live however I want to and still go to heaven. No, you know what? When I surrender my life to the Lord, He changes my life. He changes my desires, my wants, my values, my priorities. He changes my choices and my decisions. I'm a different person. And He says in Scripture here that you can't call yourself a believer and your lifestyle not reflect that. And if your lifestyle reflects somebody who doesn't know Christ, then you know what? The odds are that you probably never did come to know Him. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, listen, see, Paul was facing the same thing. And so here's that term grace again. Boy, the more that I sin, then God has to give me more grace. That was a huge movement here about 20 years ago, right? Oh, I want more grace, so I'm going to sin. I'm going to live wild. I'm going to go party and get drunk and run around so that God will give me more of His grace. Well, life doesn't work that way. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin continue to live in it as a practice, as a lifestyle, as a pattern? My life reflect it any longer. Listen to the play on words. As a believer, I can live any way I want to. I just don't want to live that way anymore because God's given me a new heart and a new life. Yeah, He's changed my life. He's changed my heart. He's changed my lifestyle and my habits. Here's another. And usually we'll use this objection when you're talking about one of your best friends or maybe somebody in your family, right? Because you're trying to defend somebody that you care about. You're trying to talk somebody into heaven, right? You're trying to make somebody's lifestyle okay when it really isn't. You ever known anybody that there was a period of time when they were real involved in church? You ever known anybody that there was a period of time when they were really on fire for God, but for some reason, and it could be 100 different reasons, they've changed. They turned their back on God. They don't live that way anymore. You know what? They could care less now. They were on fire, but now things are different. They've walked away. And if you dare say, well, maybe that person's not a believer, a parent or a friend will automatically pop up and say, oh, no, 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 because I remember when they were baptized. Oh, I remember when they really served the Lord there for a while. So look what Scripture says about that. Scripture says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but what? They weren't of us. Everybody that says they're a believer isn't. Everybody that shows up at church isn't a believer. Everybody that's serving the Lord is not a believer. They went out from us, but they weren't of us. If they had been of us, if they had really been saved, they would have continued. But they went out from us. They turned their back on God that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. Did they lose their salvation? No. Reality says they were never saved to start with. Because if they had been saved, they would have continued. Oh, listen, good things, good arguments. And I know you've heard probably a dozen more as well as I. But these are the ones that you hear the most. Here's what I want you to go home with today. Number one, it's all about a relationship. And you gain that relationship through a surrender of your life to Almighty God. And you can never, ever, ever, ever change a relationship. A relationship is permanent. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. You can lose your fellowship. You can lose that closeness to God. You can even very temporarily walk away from God. But the conviction of God draws you back to Him. And you come back and you say, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry that I walked away. I'm sorry I got so busy. I'm sorry I turned my back. God, I want to get my life right with you. Oh, listen, I want that fellowship again, that closeness that we had. Do you have that this morning? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Has He radically changed your life? Have you become God's child? Have you been adopted into His family? Because if you have, that relationship can never change. It's eternal. It's permanent. But if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, there's no greater need that you will ever face than to surrender your life to Him. That's what I challenge you to do this morning.